ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायश्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्ट दृशामेश पुराणार्को धुनोदितः। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 8 Chapter 8 is entitled The Demigods. No. Wrong page. Churning of the Milk Ocean. And today we're on text number 2. So kindly repeat after me.
Tam Agnihotrim Rishayah Jagraho Brahmavadinah Yajnyasya देवयानस्य मेध्याय हविषे नृप ताम अग्निहोत्रिम ऋषयो जग्रहुर्ब्राह्मवादिनाः यज्ञस्य देवयानस्य मेध्याय हविषे नृप
Tam, that cow, Agnihotrim, absolutely necessary for the production of yogurt, milk, and ghee to offer as oblations in the fire. Rishayah, sages, who perform such sacrifices. Jagraho took in charge. Brahmavadinah, because such sages know the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Yajnasya elevated to the higher planetary systems and to Brahmaloka. Medhyaya, fit for offering oblations. Havishe, for the sake of pure clarified butter. Nripa, O King. Translation. O King Parikshit, great sages who were completely aware of the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies took charge of that Surabhi cow, which produced all the yogurt, milk, and ghee absolutely necessary for offering oblations into the fire. They did this just for the sake of pure ghee, which they wanted for the performance of sacrifices to elevate themselves to the higher planetary systems up to Brahmaloka. Kindly repeat. O King Parikshit, great sages who were completely aware of the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies took charge of that Surabhi cow, which produced all the yogurt, milk, and ghee absolutely necessary for offering oblations into the fire. They did this just for the sake of pure ghee, which they wanted for the performance of sacrifices, to elevate themselves to the higher planetary systems, up to Brahmaloka. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Surabhi cows are generally found on the Vaikuntha planets. As described in Brahma Samhita, Lord Krishna on his planet, Goloka Vrindavan, engages in tending the Surabhi cows. Surabhir abhipalayantam. These cows are the Lord's pet animals. From the Surabhi cows, one can take as much milk as one needs. And one may milk these cows as many times as he desires. In other words, the Surabhi cow can yield milk unlimitedly. Milk is necessary for the performance of yajna. Sages know how to use milk to elevate human society to the perfection of life. Since cow protection is recommended everywhere in the Shastras, the Brahmavadis took charge of the Surabhi cow, in which the demons were not very interested. Om Ajnana Timanantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tam Agni Hotrim Rishayo Jagruhur Brahmavadinaha Yajnasya Devayanasya Medhyaya Havishenripa. O King Parikshit, great sages who were completely aware of the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies took charge of that Surabhi cow, which produced all the yogurt, milk, and ghee absolutely necessary for offering oblations into the fire. They did this just for the sake of pure ghee, which they wanted for the performance of sacrifices to elevate themselves to the higher planetary systems, up to Brahmaloka. So we're hearing more about Surabhi. Yesterday we heard about the appearance of Surabhi. Here she's called Havirdhani. Havirdhani. The Surabhi cow who is the source of clarified butter. There are different names for Surabhi in different places. Let's talk about some of these important words here. First of all, Agnihotram. Agnihotrim in this verse means that cow, Surabhi cow, Havirdhani. Agnihotri, one of the acharyas commenting on this verse says, Agnihotra sadhana bhudam, agnahuyate, sruvadina diyate, iti agnihotram kritam, tad asyam astiti, agnihotriti, vyutpattehe. This word is formed from the idea that you require ghee in order to perform the Agnihotra sacrifice, in which you take sruk and sruva, special spoons that we use for sacrifice, and you offer ghee into the fire, Agni Deva. It is said that the devas eat through Agni. Agni is their mouth. We also eat through Agni. Krishna says, I become Agni within your own body, and I digest. Aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam dehamashrataha pranapana samayuktaha pachami annam chaturvidham. In this way I cook whatever grains you eat. This is why Ayurveda doesn't support raw foods, because it has to either your stomach cooks it or the stove cooks it, so it's better to give your stomach an easy time. This is the idea. Okay, so Agnihotra Sadhana Bhutam. This cow is in the form of the means to perform Agnihotra. Viragavacharja says likewise, Dati Payoghritadi Havihi Pradhanin Agnihotradi Vaidika Karma Nishpadinim. She facilitates the performance of Vedic sacrifices because these things, Prabhupada says a few times here in his purport and verse translation, these things are absolutely necessary for sacrifices. So she takes different forms. She has different names as well. Havirdhani Agnihotri. We've heard these two names so far. What are some of her other names? Sridhar Swami, or one of the other acharyas, says she's Kamadhenu in his commentary on this verse. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on the previous verse, says Havirdhani means Surabhi. Hence Srila Prabhupada's purport, in which he quotes Brahma Samhita. Surabhira Vipalyantam. Krishna himself mentions this Kamadhenu in Bhagavad Gita. Where is that? Anyone know? Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions Kamadhenu two places. Chapter 3, text 10, in which Krishna is encouraging Arjuna to perform his prescribed duty, regular niyatam karma. He says, Saha yajna praja srishtva purovacha prajapatihi anena prasavishya dvam esa voshtvishta kamadhuk. Your prescribed duty becomes the cow that fulfills all of your desires. This is what Krishna is saying this figuratively. Later on in chapter 10, text number 28, he also says, Dhenunam asmi kamadhuk. Among the cows, I am considered to be kamadhuk. And Sridhar Swami in his commentary on that verse says that he's referring to the cow of Vashishta Muni. We know there's a story in Ramayana, and it's quoted throughout Srila Prabhupada's books, in which Vashishta and Vishwamitra had a fight over this Kamadhenu. This demonstrated the superiority of Brahma Tejas over Kshatra Tejas. The Kshatriyas, those who have executive capacity, they have power. They want power. They're very interested in power. In fact, they only see power wherever they look. But the Brahmanas, who are more broad-minded, they have Brahma Tejas. And ultimately, the Brahma Tejas is superior. What happened when he tried to take the cow of Vishishta Muni? Anybody remember what happened to Vishwamitra? There was a fight over the cow. He, first of all, asked for the cow, and he didn't want to give the cow. So then he tried to take away Surabhi by force, and then Surabhi herself manifested an army to defeat Vishwamitra. This is Brahma Tejas. Of course, in Kali Yuga, we don't see people with these powers, certainly not the Brahmanas. They're all busy studying IT. Instead of learning Sanskrit and Shastras. So anyway, also the same thing Krishna reiterates in the 11th canto. He says, Havirdhani asmi dhenushu. Among the cows, I am Havirdhani. Same name here. And there Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Havirdhani means Kamadhenu. So it's clear. She's got all these names. They're all the same person. Sometimes she's called Homadhenu. Homadhenu, for the same reason that she's called in this verse, Agnihotrim, because she facilitates homas. Now, there are different accounts about her appearance in different shastras. She appears all over the Shastras. In the four Vedas, she's there. In the Upanishads, she's mentioned. In the Puranas, various Puranas. In Bhagavad Gita, in other places. Kamadhenu is mentioned, as we've mentioned already. So some say that she appeared from the churning of the ocean of milk. That's here in the Bhagavatam. Some say that she appeared as the daughter. In fact, the Bhagavatam itself says she appeared as the daughter of Daksha and the wife of Kashyap Muni. Here, some scholars, they give their opinion that the Brahmavadi rishis, who are mentioned in today's verse, refers to the Saptarishis. And who are the Saptarishis? One of them is Kashyapa Muni. So it makes sense if she is the wife of Kashyapa Muni. Others say that when Daksha Maharaj, the Prajapati, drank the Amrita that was produced later on in this episode, then after drinking, if someone drinks, sometimes they belch. So when Daksha belched after drinking the Amrita, then Kamatuk was produced in that way. So differing things. How do we reconcile these different accounts they're given? She has different names, she has different forms, she has different descriptions of her appearance. Sometimes she's depicted as a cow nursing her calf. Sometimes she's depicted as a cow with all the demigods inside of her body. Sometimes she's depicted as having a woman's head and a woman's breasts, a cow's torso and legs, wings, and a peacock's tail. This seems to be especially in South India, they depict her in this way. So how do we reconcile all these different accounts and different narrations? Who knows? Seems to be very contradictory. The mundane scholars, looking at this from an empirical perspective, they say it's all just nonsense, fairy tales. How do we reconcile this? Who has some ideas about this? Not one person is raising their hand, and I'm not going to accept that. Somebody has to give some sagacious idea about this. Raghav Prabhu. Sorry? Yes, Kalpaped, this is one way in which these things are described. Giriraj Swami has given a very nice analogy to explain how this happens here in India. What do we have? We have like India Mart, isn't it called? In Delhi, you can go to the store. Certain chain stores that you'll find. D-Mart they have in other places. Every outlet of this particular company store will have a slightly different setup, but it's carrying the same merchandise and in pretty much the same order. In America, we have different supermarkets, Safeway, Kroger, like this. You're going to get the same stock of goods in every single outlet of this chain store, but it will be organized in slightly different ways because the physical facility of the building will differ from outlet to outlet. In the same way, because this material world is created in response to the multiple desires of infinite jivas who are coming and going from this place all the time, it cannot be the same every time. There has to be some difference in the different creations. And because there are differences in the different creations, there are different requirements, and sometimes the devatas take different forms. We've mentioned the Saptarishis also. Sometimes they also, just like at present, we have Atri Muni as one of the Saptarishis, but in the Briharanyaka Upanishad, instead of Atri Muni, Bhrigu Muni is given in that list. So there some slight differences are there. That's not something to be hung up about. Another thing is that Kamadhenu is actually the mother of all cows. It's described that she, from her, all cows have taken birth. And so Surabhi or Kamadhenu, this is not only an individual person, but the entire class of cows. This is why we give so much respect and importance to the cows. Because all of them are representatives of Kamadhenu, who appeared out of the churning of the milk ocean. And that Kamadhenu herself was not invented at that time. She has her eternal identity as well. Where? We heard this yesterday. Where does Kamadhenu reside eternally? Goloka? Cow world. Goloka means cow world. So she's called Surabhi there. And Prabhupada, following the commentaries, he's quoted Brahma Samhita in that regard. Okay, so this is Havir Dhani, the cow. What else? Other words we have. Agnihotrim we've described already. Rishya Brahmavadina. One of the acharyas commenting on this word, he glosses it. Who are these rishis and brahmavadis? What does that mean? Vedagnya. They know the Vedas. And yajnyanyanushthanapara. They're always engaged in performing rituals, such as yajnas. So these are some of the main words. Now, devayanasya. Devayana. The word yajna here is qualified or described further with this adjective, devayana. What does devayana mean? What does yana mean? Anybody know? In Buddhism we hear this. Mahayana, Hinayana. And Krishna mentions different yanas in Bhagavad Gita as well. Yana means the vehicle or the means by which you can go somewhere, your conveyance. So, devayana means the means to become a deva is this yajna. Sridhar Swami as well as Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, they both say, Brahmaloka Marga Prapakasya, that thing which sets your trajectory for at least Brahmaloka, maybe higher than that, depending on how you act. Viragavacharya says, Devayanasya, Devayantiyasmin Karamani, Iti Devayanam. That thing by which you go to the devas is called Devayana. And others give other descriptions here. Agnihotra sadhana bhuta ghritad yubadikam devayanasya brahmalokadi prapakasya. Same idea is there. Now, one Nimbarka Sampradaya commentator, he says something a little interesting. He says, Devo Vishnur vivitsodpadana dvara tat prapakasya. That thing which can actually take you all the way to Vishnu. Because we hear in the Shastras, even in the Shrutis, Yajno Vai Vishnu. Actually, Yajna means Vishnu. And Vishnu himself says, Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, those who are worshipping other gods, they're actually worshipping me only. They may or may not know it. So this is Devayana. Now, Medhya, Medhyasya. What does Medhya mean? We heard about this yesterday from the head pujari. Who would know these things? Medhya means actually something which is offerable. Certain foodstuffs are offerable, and others are not offerable. Here, if you're trying to do a yajna, agnihotra, it is not offerable if you cannot have ghee there. Ghee is absolute, therefore Prabhupada says, absolutely necessary, because it becomes amedhya. This is an important word we also find in chapter 17, of Bhagavad Gita, text number 10. Anybody know that one offhand? Otherwise, I'll have it in a moment. He's talking about different foods in the different modes of material nature. And after having discussed sattvic foods and rajasic foods, now he talks about tamasic foods. He says, Yata yamam gatarasam puti paryushitam chayata uchishtam api cha amedhyam. Amedhyam. Bhojanam tamasapriyam. The things that you like when you're in the mode of ignorance. Yatayamam. More than 3 hours have passed after you've cooked it. Yama means about 3 hours, more or less. So that thing cannot have gone. Gatarasam. Something which is, how do you say, what is Prabhupada translates it here as? Tasteless, okay? Puti, bad smelling. Paryushitam, decomposed. Uchishtam, somebody else's remnants, unless he's a great devotee. It's not considered to be very good. These things are not acceptable. They're considered amedhyam. Here it's translated as untouchable in Bhagavad Gita, as it is. So, the idea is here that this ghee, these milk products that Surabhi produces unlimitedly, they're considered to be medhya. They're the first class offering. If you're confused about what to offer Krishna, milk. Default. As long as it's pure. Pure means medium. This is the interpretation given by Vaishnava commentators. One of them who says medhyaya means shuddhaya. The other one says pavitraya. Means the same thing. Has to be pure. Yesterday we heard about the impurities that we sometimes find. So jagruhu, they accepted this cow. Svikritavanta, Viragavacharya says. Why did they accept the cow? Because they were the sages. The sages have to perform sacrifices. That is their prescribed duty. And they also understood, well, Srila Prabhupada is described. We'll talk about this in a moment. But first of all, let's note that Srila Prabhupada's purport is divided into maybe four or five sections. And most of the purport, at least half of his purport, is devoted to describing the Surabhi cow. So let's hear what Prabhupada says again. Surabhi cows are generally found in the Vaikuntha planets. They're generally found. That again indicates that Surabhi is a class of cow rather than one single cow. As described in the Brahma Samhita, Lord Krishna on his planet Golok Vrindavan engages in tending the Surabhi cows. Surabhi paliyantam. These cows are the Lord's pet animals. From the Surabhi cows, one can take as much milk as one needs, and one may milk these cows as many times as he desires. In other words, the Surabhi cow can yield milk unlimitedly. So that's the first point. From cows, you get milk, and from Surabhi cows especially, you get transcendental milk that is offerable to Lord Krishna. Then he says, milk is necessary for the performance of yajna. And he further describes that sages know how to use milk to elevate human society to the perfection of life. Since cow protection is recommended everywhere in the Shastras, the Brahmavadis took charge of the Surabhi cow, in which the demons were not very interested. So this is another thing. Demons, they will not be interested in the things that the devotees are interested in. Why is that? Krishna says, again in Bhagavad Gita, Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagriti sanyami yasyam jagriti bhutani sanisha pasyato munehe. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. The demons and the devotees, they have opposite natures, and what pleases one cannot possibly please the other, and vice versa. Raise your hand if you sometimes go to Mathura to visit McDonald's. Yes, nobody is interested because we're devotees. But there are some people who do so, otherwise that outlet would not be there. And they will build more. KFC, Aiga, Zurur, so many things. Well, especially once the airport gets built. All right, so anyway, let's dilate on each of these points that Prabhupada has made. Regarding cows and milk, Srila Prabhupada was very interested, especially in his final years, he was very interested in this project, establishing transcendental farms with transcendental cows who produce transcendental milk for the transcendental pleasure of Krishna. In other words, daivi varnashram, not mundane varnashram, transcendental. In fact, when he visited New Orleans on July 31st, 1975, he talked to the temple president of the nearby farm. And Prabhupada Lilamrita describes this, quote, Prabhupada picked up a photo album from his desk containing pictures of the farm in Mississippi. And Prabhupada said, you know, I've come especially to see your farm. He told him that. And then the next day, when they actually went to that farm, Srila Prabhupada went to his room and sat with Brahmananda Swami, Satsarup Goswami, Harikesh, Jagadish, and Upendra. When he began speaking about Varnashram, he called for Nityananda. They should try not to use machines, he said. The men and the animals should do the work. Nityananda asked whether the householders should produce food cooperatively or as individual families. Prabhupada replied, they should work together. Or what's the use of living as a community? When Upendra asked how the milk should be used, Srila Prabhupada explained what he called the Indian village system. He said, as Nanda Maharaj was keeping cows, similarly there are many villages. Still, this is 50 years ago, many villages were doing this. Now probably less. We know why. They're all studying IT instead of farming, and they're all going to McDonald's instead of cooking at home. Just according to the plan, someone else's plan. India didn't actually get independence in 1947 because the Indians are still enslaved by the descendants of the same people that enslaved their forefathers. It's just now carried out under the guise of free will and market economy. That's another matter. But Prabhupada said, as Nanda Maharaj is keeping cows, similarly there are many villages. They have a big pan, and whatever milk is collected, they put into that pan. It's kept on a fire and is warm. So the whole family can drink milk whenever they like. Then whatever milk remains at night, they have to convert it into yogurt. The next day they use milk and yogurt, also as they like. Then, after converting the milk into yogurt, whatever remains is stored. If there is sufficient old yogurt, they churn, and butter comes out. They take that butter, and the water is separated from the butter, is called whey. So instead of dal, they use this whey for eating with chapatis. It will be very healthy and tasty. Meanwhile, the butter they turn into ghee. There is not a single drop of waste. End quote. Prabhupada said that everyone should take as much milk as necessary and that the ghee should be used in ISKCON restaurants in the cities. Curd could also be used, that means paneer, could also be used in the restaurants for making sandesh, rasgulla, and other dishes. So this is the importance of milk. I mentioned already that Srila Prabhupada, when he gave this instruction to Tamal Krishna Maharaj to open restaurants instead of temples henceforth, he said, if you give people things that are nicely cooked in ghee and milk products, dairy products generally, then they will give up their bloodthirsty habits. Because actually modern civilization is full of barbarians, and they have tamasic and, at best, rajasic eating styles, as we've described already. So this has to be taken care of. Now, Prabhupada mentions also pets. These cows are like Krishna's pets. Those of us who are fortunate enough to live in Vrindavan, we also come to love the cows very much. And we should. We heard this yesterday. Without serving cows in Vrindavan, you will not go back to Godhead, because these cows are very, very important to Lord Krishna, who is called Gopala, the protector of the cows. People in the West, they keep cats and dogs instead. And if you kill someone's dog in America, you will be punished by law. So similarly, if you kill a cow in India, you should be punished, but they've given up this principle, even though it's in the Indian constitution. No cow slaughter. But they've given it up. Who has given it up? Not the Muslims, not the Christians, not the foreigners. The Hindus have given it up. And now they're the prime agents of cow slaughter throughout the subcontinent. But this wasn't always the case. Ahatyahatyamurna drutamanopibabdaha prasnatum maturuha kinchit kunjaika janur anavarata chalat charu putchasya dhenoho uttirnam taranakasya priyatanayataya dattahunkara mudra visrangsi kshiradhara lavana shabala mukhasyangam atriptilehi. It's a beautiful description from classical Sanskrit literature on the beauty of a cow and her calf. We've already mentioned that Surabhi is sometimes represented by a cow milking her calf, or giving milk to her calf. Quote, repeatedly butted by the head of her calf, a cow moos softly with maternal delight, while her calf, one knee slightly bent, sucks her udder, waving its tail beautifully. The mother cow then licks the upturned face of her calf, whose mouth is sprinkled with droplets of milk. This is why Sanatan Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami in Hari Bhakti Vilas, book 16, verse number 252, say, Agrataha santu me gavo, gavo me santu prishtataha, gavo me parshvataha santo, gavo madhye vasami aham. It means, may there be cows in front of me, cows behind me, and cows on all sides. May I always live in the midst of the cows. Gomata ki. Now these are not ordinary cows, as Prabhupada has mentioned in his purport. These kamadhenus are originally from the spiritual world. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, while commenting on that verse, Brahma Samhita 5:29. What is the verse? Who knows? Chintamani prakarasad masukalpa vriksha lakshavrteshu surabhir abhipalayantam. There are houses built with spiritual gems, and there are desire trees, everyone, like this one in the courtyard. Wonderful tamal tree. They will give you anything you want. Be careful what you want. And similarly, laksha. So many cows surrounding. This description is given. The kamadhenus, or the cows yielding the fulfillment of desire, give milk when they are milked. But the kamadhenus of Goloka pour forth oceans of milk in the shape of the fountain of love showering transcendental bliss that does away with the hunger and thirst of all pure devotees. The words laksha and sahasrashata signify endless numbers. There are endless numbers of such cows. And they don't wait for you to be milked in Golok Vrindavan, he says. Numberless cows, he comments in text 56, always emit transcendental oceans of milk. Oceans of milk in Golok Vrindavan. How much milk can you consume? Therefore, Bilvamangala Thakur, in his Bilvamangala Stava, section 2, verse 61, he gives a very nice description of these cows and how they're imbued with deep love of Krishna. What does he say? Nishamya veni dhvani murtha karna viluna pasha brishamutsukinyaha vatsanapi swan anavekshamana sasabhramamrit nirayur alalepyaha. That means, hearing the sound of the flute, their ears perk up. They stand up straight. They sever their fetters somehow. You know, you tie cows with rope. Somehow they figure out a way to cut the rope. And they, in tremendous eagerness, they even ignore their own calves as they come bolting out of their cow sheds to find Krishna. This is the Surabhi cows in the spiritual world. Raghunath Das Goswami in his Vrajvelastava has also describe these very beautifully. The hooves of Sri Krishna's Surabhi cows are decorated with sapphires. Their horns are studded with gold, and their white cheeks have crippled the pride of the snow-capped mountain peaks. I pray that these Surabhi cows may protect us. Why protect us? Because they're mothers. They have natural vatsalya bhava. In the company of Balaram and his other friends, and his own body splendidly covered with the dust raised by their hooves, the prince of Raja daily enjoys a great festival of protecting and milking the cows. With great happiness, he eagerly enjoys pastimes with them in the great forests and on the grand hills and riverbanks of Rajadham. Let me worship these Surabhi cows. All glories to Lord Krishna's pet bull, Padmagantha, whose handsome horns are covered with gold and studded with jewels, whose hooves are splendidly decorated with sapphires, and whose splendid neck is decorated with a swinging garland of reddish flowers. Sometimes Lord Krishna feeds the calves, earnestly placing small bunches of tender, fresh grass in their mouths, and sometimes he very carefully massages their limbs. I yearn to one day see these calves of Lord Krishna jumping and frolicking in Vrindavan. Golokadham ki jai. Now, later on in this description here in chapter 8, text number 11, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out in that connection. here the translation I'll read. The land became a person and collected all the drugs and herbs needed for installing the deity. The cows delivered five products, namely milk, yogurt, ghee, urine, and cow dung. And spring personified collected everything produced in spring during the months of Chaitra and Vaishakha. This is, later on we'll hear more about other things that came out of the milk ocean. But it's also qualified here. Abhishekam. Abhishekam yatha vidhi. They performed abhishek. Yatha vidhi. The vidhi is, the shastric injunction is that you have to have these things to perform abhishek. Panchamritasnan, we say, in deity worship. Just like we heard yesterday, rice, it is not medhyam unless it has ghee on it. Then it becomes medhyam. The word here is used, medhyam. All right, so why is this? Because milk means yajna. There's one book called Mayapuri Mahatmyam. And there the Devi says, because of sacrifice, there is rain. Rain produces food. From food, all beings, animal and vegetable, are nourished. O Brahman, since a sacrifice does not succeed without oblations of ghee, and ghee comes from cows, therefore where there are no cows, this affects the entire world. Therefore I created cows for the benefit of the world. Those of us who are unfortunately socialized in modern, urban, and largely Western societies, technological societies, we don't understand what real civilization is. We don't understand it. We think that advanced civilization means fast cars, microchips, like this, Internet of Things. So, actually, human prosperity and auspiciousness actually requires cows because everything comes from yajna. And yajna requires cows because it requires ghee and milk and other such products. Jiva Goswami makes an even stronger statement in his commentary on Brahma Samhita, first verse of chapter 5. He quotes from the Gosukta, Gobhyo yajna pravartante gobhyo deva samuthitaha. Gobhir deva samudgirnaha shadanga padaka kramaha. Sacrifice comes from cows. Demigods were produced from cows. Through the cows arise the deities, the six kinds of the Vedas, and Vedic recitation. It all comes from cows. So, this is yajna. Here in Srila Prabhupada's purport, he also mentions that the sages were very concerned to take charge of the Surabhi because they understood the importance of the Surabhi cow, and they were responsible, even more than the Kshatriyas. The Brahmins are responsible for the general well-being of the society. They took that responsibility very seriously, therefore they took charge. They didn't ask permission. They immediately took the cow. This is our department. So, and they wanted to make sure that sacrifice is performed. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, after he enumerates a list of people who perform sacrifice, all these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of sinful reactions, and having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifices, they may advance toward the supreme eternal atmosphere. Toward means you may be going through Brahmaloka or Swargaloka, other places, but you're moving towards that goal. And he finally, he concludes in maybe the shortest verse of Bhagavad Gita, Nayam lokoscha yajnasya kutonya kurusattama. O son of the Kurus, how is it possible to be happy in this world without sacrifice? Srila Prabhupada's purport dilates on that to a large degree, but we don't really have so much time, so I'm going to skip that. Now, unfortunately, the demons, they're not so much interested in the cows. They're more interested in stealing the nectar, and they want money, and later on we'll see they also become bewildered by Mohini Murti, necessarily, because you have to attract a person with through their whatever they're attached to. But Srila Prabhupada defeated these ideas that still infect our psychology, so we should hear some things. In Seattle, in 1968, September 27th, Srila Prabhupada said, "The cow is eating grass and delivering you milk. So now, by scientific process, why don't you transform grass into milk? Still, the rascals will not agree that there is God. You see? They have become so rascal. Science. And what is your science? Nonsense. You see, the cows are eating grass and delivering you milk. Why don't you give your wife milk to drink, grass to eat, and she can produce milk? Why do you purchase? But if you offer this grass to a human being, she will die. How many stomachs do cows have? One stomach, four digestive tracts. That is the magic. It is in Achintya Shakti, but Krishna has arranged it. Whatever they eat, they have a certain way to eat it, and they turn it into milk. In Germany in 1974, on June 19th, Srila Prabhupada said, "Human society, they should be advanced so much that even the birds, they have nothing to kill for their eating. They have got sufficient food. And we are advanced human beings. We are killing for eating instead of God giving us so much food, enough food. And they are still puffed up with advanced civilization. They have not even human feeling. These poor cows, they're giving us milk, the most nutritious food, and we can prepare so many nice nutritious foodstuffs. So let them live." It's found, it's documented. When they separate the calf from the cows for killing them in the slaughterhouses, the cows are crying. The cows are crying. You have to beat them on the head with a hammer to make them senseless. Otherwise, they're going to demonstrate that they're sentient living beings just like us. How would you feel if we take away your children? So this is the idea Prabhupada is hammering back. They have not even human feeling. And if I wait to eat it all, at all, then let it die. Then we can eat. Why kill it? They have no common sense. And they're leading the sinful life. Still, they're very much proud of their civilization. Okay, these are just a few quotes from Srila Prabhupada that demonstrate his extreme concern with this point, that all cows as representatives of this Kamadhenu that we're hearing about in this passage, and ultimately as representatives of Krishna's own cows here in Vrindavan. He even here in Vrindavan, sometimes they steal cows to take them to kill. So sinful they've become. They don't feel anything. So there's a great need to assimilate these ideas in Prabhupada's books. In closing, I'll just add. And having assimilated these ideas, we should be very enthusiastic to share these ideas with the rest of the society. India now, I think, is probably going faster in the wrong direction even than America and Europe and other Western countries from whom they have avidly adopted the ideals and ideas. So there's a great need to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books en masse, and this particular month provides us with the best opportunity to do that. Christmas season in the Western countries, even in Delhi, I'm sure they're celebrating also. But at any rate, December, we call it Gita Jayanti Marathon. In a few days, we'll have Gita Jayanti. So this month, we should especially focus on trying to increase the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. They're the only hope for the modern world. It's described else later on in this very canto that the great souls, those who are sensible and advanced, they take on voluntary austerities for the welfare of the society in general. This was spoken in regards to Shiva, who drank the ocean of poison. So we can take on some little austerity, and book distribution is one of them. We know that Srila Prabhupada is very, very keen on this principle. Okay, I'm going to stop now because the time is up, but if anybody has any questions or any comments, we can maybe discuss further. Your Raghava Prabhu. सिर्फ जोर से बोलिए, नहीं तो आ comment on the importance of
native Indian cows.
Native Indian cows. Yeah, Indian cows, just like Indian people, they're different. Have you noticed? They're different. There are 8,400,000 different species. They're all different. They all have advantages, disadvantages. Some of them are higher, some of them are lower. There is variety in the Lord's creation. And the cows here, they're special cows. If you look at it from an Ayurvedic perspective, they have certain characteristics that will benefit if you drink their milk, especially if they're taken care of properly, which is what we've been discussing. And that is exactly why the Saptarishis, or the great sages mentioned here, the Brahmavadis and Rishis, they took charge of this Surabhi cow immediately without asking anyone's permission. They knew that they had to do what had to be done. Steve Jobs, of all persons, he actually said this, indicated that this was his mentality as well. He said, you don't wait for your customer to tell you what they want. You give them what they need. Of course, we don't know whether he really understood what was necessary, but this was the mentality of the great sages and the Brahmavadis who took charge of the Surabhi cow because they understood these are special cows and they have to be treated in a special way, and from them you derive a special result. Indian cows, they're different. Other cows, in many cases, they actually, because of improper breeding and genetic modification, what to speak of improper breeding, even genetic modification now, these cows are bred to produce problematic milk. Even from a mundane perspective, health perspective, if you look at it, what to speak of looking at it in terms of dharma. Even if you're looking at it solely in terms of physical welfare, it still causes problems. So, Indian cows taken care of in the Indian way, paramparagat manner, this is the beneficial thing. This is just a few words we can say about it. Is that satisfactory? The Mataji in the back had a question also. The microphone is... Okay, you got it.
Yeah, it's regarding prasadam.
Yes.
You said that there are three types in Bhagavad Gita. Three types of food. Tamasic, Rajasic, and Sattvic.
Krishna says.
Yeah. But sometimes we see that prasadam is... Does it have to be prasadam that is served in the
Well, why would someone want to offer something tamasic to the Lord or rajasic to the Lord?
Sometimes prasadas,
rajasic. Yeah, rajasic. Yeah, that's true. Actually, Prabhupada did say this. Because in deity worship, we treat the Lord as the supreme king. And king has all enjoyable sense gratification. It's not necessarily considering health first. It's considering bhoga first. And there's nothing wrong with that. In Krishna consciousness, it's transcendental. But that doesn't mean that we have to eat that prasadam. Because we're not as transcendental as Krishna is. So. Yes, yes.
The one that we eat.
Yes.
It doesn't always look very 100% sattvic.
Yeah, because it isn't.
So.
So we don't have to eat it. You have to, Prabhupada said, you have to consider your health first, your sadhana second, and your service third. I know this, because I have so many health problems. So, you know, if you don't have your health, you can't do anything. So it is a priority. At the same time, sometimes people, back in the 1970s, this macrobiotic diet was in fashion. I don't know if they're still doing it or not, but sometimes even devotees, they get involved in these things. And one of Prabhupada's disciples, whose name I won't mention, he was constantly trying to give Prabhupada certain salads and other things, and Prabhupada never was interested. So they were talking about prasadam on one morning walk, and there was some back and forth. It was kind of an argument that wasn't really explicit. So finally tomorrow Krishna Maharaj just told Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, we would rather die eating prasadam. Means deity Mahaprasadam. And Prabhupada said, yes, this is devotee. So we have to use our own judgment. If you're advanced, if you can handle, you know, eating any amount of things, you go ahead. I have no objection. I can't do it. Or you may be able to do it when you're 20, but if you're 50, then you're going to lose a kidney or two. This actually happened to a godbrother of mine. So anyway, I hope that's satisfactory.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. And also in relation to dairy products,
yes. Yes, that's right.
So would you consider pure? Because, for example, from factory farms, they don't look very pure if it's the whole process.
Yes. You know what? I read some statistics about this. 100 years ago in North America, every family, mostly, almost every family, had their own cow. Somehow or other, especially after World War II, everything was tweaked by the economists and the business interests, and America lost its agrarian base. But if you keep your own cow and you milk your own cow and you drink that milk hot and also standing up, that's another thing, then you will get the full benefit of the milk, especially if the cows are proper cows, as we've described already. Otherwise, you know, they're injected with so many artificial hormones, and they're genetically modified, and there's so much things, and it's sitting there for 6 months in a freezer, and this is not human life. This is ugra karma. Human life means simple living and high thinking, and these are the ideals that we find in Srila Prabhupada's books. And unfortunately, we don't live by these ideals enough of the time, I'm sorry to say. Now people are finally waking up, and because the foreigners are waking up, therefore the Indians even are starting to wake up, that ahimsa milk might be a good idea. Because definitely the Indians won't do anything until the Videshis give them permission. That is a fact. So, but people are becoming a little bit more conscious of these things, but actually the fact is that still, the ideals of simple living and high thinking that we find throughout Srila Prabhupada's books and in his personal conversations and in his correspondence and other instructions, we don't really embrace them that fully. Unfortunately, I have to narrate without taking too much more time. I was in a class in one big Western temple, and the speaker was an ISKCON sannyasi who was also a GBC and guru. And the chapter and the verse and the purport were about Varnashram Dharma. But the class was all about book distribution. I didn't have the sahas to say anything about it. But I didn't have to either, because the biggest book distributor in the temple raised his hand and said, Maharaj, considering that this chapter and this verse and also Prabhupada's purport are about Varnashram, could you perhaps say a few things about that? Because after all, we should consider, Srila Prabhupada gave 80% of his instructions on this topic in the last 3 years that he was with us. And he called it the remaining 50% of his mission. And it is intended, Varnashram, is intended to bring people to pure Krishna consciousness, according to Vishnu Purana. So, Maharaj's answer was stunning in its simplicity. He said, well, if everybody moves out to the farm, then who's going to distribute books? Which indicates that his conception of Varnashram was not only limited to a farm project, but also that he considered it as something other than preaching. So then the same book distributor who raised his hand to ask the question, he pointed out, Maharaj, I'm distributing books here every day for 30 years. Every day I meet people who have read these books. They know the books. They understand the content. They understand the concept of simple living, high thinking. And when I ask them, why don't you come and associate with us, they tell me that, well, you know, here's the problem. We see that the books are describing one lifestyle and that you people are leading another lifestyle. It's only a matter of time before the intelligent people in society see this gaping chasm and reject our society, which is not very healthy. Therefore, the devotees should take these instructions more seriously than they have in the last 4 or 5 decades, because we don't have so much really to show Srila Prabhupada regarding his instructions on this matter. And it begins with these small steps: drinking proper milk, eating sattvic foodstuffs, living as simply as possible, and at least not forgetting that the goal is to maintain an economic social base that is agrarian in nature. It's a hard pill to swallow for those of us who have been born and raised in urban, modern urban megalopolises. But these are the ideals of the Srimad Bhagavatam that we claim to accept. That's a big topic. I won't go any further into it, but maybe should be said more often than it is. So I'm going to stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.